Srimad-Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 3, entitled The Birth of Lord Krishna. Text 44. एतद्वां दर्शितं रूपं एतद्वां दर्शितं रूपं प्राग्जन्म स्मरणाय मे प्राग्जन्म स्मरणाय मे नान्यथा मद्भवं ज्ञानम् नान्यथा मद्भवं ज्ञानम् मर्त्यलिङ्गेन जायते मर्त्यलिङ्गेन जायते Translation and purport by Divine Grace. Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I have shown you this form of Vishnu just to remind you of my previous births. Otherwise, if I appeared like an ordinary human child, you would not believe that the Supreme Personality of God Vishnu has indeed appeared. Purport. Devaki did not need to be reminded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, had appeared as her son. She already accepted this. Nonetheless, she was anxious, thinking that if her neighbors heard that Vishnu had appeared as her son, none of them would believe it. Therefore, she wanted Lord Vishnu to transform himself into a human child. On the other hand, the Supreme Lord was also anxious, thinking that if he appeared as an ordinary child, she would not believe that Lord Vishnu had appeared. Such are the dealings between devotees and the Lord. The Lord deals with his devotees exactly like a human being. But this does not mean that the Lord is one of the human beings. For this is the conclusion of non-devotees. Avajananti maam mudha manushim tanumashritam. Devotees know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead under any devotees know the Supreme Personality of Godhead under any circumstances. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. The Lord says, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji maam namaskuru. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances and worship me. A non-devotee cannot believe that simply by thinking of one person, one can achieve liberation from this material world and go back home, back to Godhead. But this is a fact. The Lord comes as a human being, and if one becomes attached to the Lord on the platform of loving service, one's promotion to the transcendental world is assured. In this verse, as explained by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, the transcendental anxiety of the Lord for his devotee and the devotee for the Lord are so beautifully explained. And Prabhupada writes, such are the dealings between the devotees and the Lord. there are two things. One is philosophy for the brain and sentiments of the heart. One without the other is incomplete. One of my colleagues in my college days, she has a son who is, she had a son who is, was about 23, only son, extremely intelligent. Naturally, she was very much attached to him, and he was so intelligent that he would take tuitions for his classmates. Not only for himself, but also he would take for others and help them and secure good percentage and things like that. And one day he just told his mother, "I'm going for the tuition." And somehow she came, and he was driving on a two-wheeler, and there was a huge truck that just hit head-on collision, and 15 minutes later she's just seen him off, and 15 minutes later the news reaches along with the dead body, smashed, of the son. This happened almost like 2-3 months back, and somehow through my other colleagues they informed me that she's very difficult to kind of pacify and console. You are in the Hare Krishna. Whenever you meet us, you keep telling us so much. Why don't you tell her now? This is your test. Something like that. I've been in touch. And after practically a few months now, gradually and gradually, it's dawning upon, the reality is dawning that is no more, the connection is not there. And I was trying to think, trying to speak all aspects of philosophy. And simultaneously then also I said, yeah, it's a fact that tremendous feeling of separation. She says, now nothing tastes, there's no nothing in my life to look forward. Practically saying, shunyaitam jagat sarvam. It's a fact, actually, for her. Life has become useless. What do I have to live for now? So, we actually see this perverted reflection of the spiritual emotions in the material world also. But because these emotions are not based on philosophical truths, it causes misery, and it's not actually bliss. Unlike in the spiritual emotions, even tremendous feeling of separation and anxiety, as we see here, all these are powerful emotions which can completely occupy one's consciousness. But in every situation, these emotions are completely ecstatic because it's based on truth. Real emotions are on the sense of reality. How much this understanding, in fact, that is the reason why the Lord appears. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatpatah. to actually pull us out of this kind of illusion and showing how actually these emotions do exist in its purest form in the spiritual realm. And one should strive for this. And that is the perfection of life. Even that separation is a perfection of life. Hey Radha, hey Vraja Devi, Ke Chalalit. The only thing is it needs to be. And while doing that, we have to deal with this world. Tam Sthitiksha Subharata. Just tolerate. Easily said than done. Mere philosophy without sentiment is hard-heartedness. I only speak dry philosophy. Can't touch people's heart. And mere sentimentality, sit in crying without actually philosophical basis, doesn't benefit anyone, actually. Here, the Lord is so sensitive to the feelings of His mother here, Devaki. Such sensitivity. And therefore, He is trying to pacify, making sure that she's reminding that this is what you wanted and this is what. This is another aspect. Whatever we have desired in any lifetime or in this lifetime in the past, when we qualify, Paramatma brings it in front of us. Very nicely put by Devamrita Maharaj in his book, I think Bhakti Bhava, he writes this. Exactly, you know, sometimes we feel that Maya knows exactly what our weaknesses are and brings only that object, not where we are strong, but where we are weak, to test us. But he gives a little different perspective. He said it's actually the Paramatma bringing that object in front and says, this is what you wanted and this is here. Here it is. Do you still want it? I say, no. I may have desired right now. I don't want it. Whatever we have desired, if we have qualified ourselves, we may get it. But you say, no. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim. Other than pleasing the Lord only. So knowing that she had asked for this, he wants to tell her, this is what you wanted, here I am, fulfilling it. Specifically, that's why he appeared as Vishnu form. This is one of the reasons. He's reminding her, you did so much tapasya to get me, here I am. I'm reminding you. You asked for it, here it is. So, that sensitivity that he had asked for this, this person has performed so much austerity to achieve something. He gives it and reminds, this is what you wanted, here it is. If one aspect of seeing this situation, how the Lord actually reciprocates and is reminding her, you had what perform austerities for. Unimaginable austerity, unimaginable. 10,000 celestial years of just living on air and some leaves. How strongly that desire has been expressed. Basically, human life is a small gap that is provided, and the whole idea is to change our desire, that's all. It's an opportunity to change our desire. We have some aggregate of desires, and then we come into this world and here we are given an opportunity. Take a stock, take an inventory of all your desires. Which are the desires? Because it's because of desires we have come into this world. It is because of desires we are staying in this world. And it's only by desire we are going to go back to Godhead. Everything is based on desire, which is the nature of the soul to desire. So it's a nice time to take a stock, inventory of all the desires and say, no, not this desire, not this. Philosophically understanding, this is not actually good for me, not beneficial for me, not beneficial for me. And those desires, thy will be done. My Lord, your desire is my desire. To make our desire one with Krishna's desire is actually becoming desireless. Desireless of those desires which give another birth. The main reason for another birth is a desire. Every time we say, I only wish, and wish for something which is different from Krishna's desire, we are potentially sowing the seed for another life. Anya abhilashita shunyam. Somehow we can make those desires in alignment with the desires of the Lord. That's actually Krishna bhakta nishkama. Atayeva shanta. Then you are peaceful. Allowing Krishna, let your desire be my desire. I don't know what your desire is, let it manifest. Whatever way, then life is exciting. It's always exciting. Every moment is exciting. It's excitement. And such a devotee who has performed all these austerity, actually this is austerity, that's all. This is the only austerity. There is no need for doing any other austerity. Aradhito yadi harihi tapasa tatah kim. Na aradhito yadi harihi tapasa tatah kim. If you are not worshipping the Lord, what is the use of tapasya? Worshipping the Lord means to serve the Lord and to please the Lord with a desire to please Him. And na aradhito yadi harihi. If you are not worshipping the Lord, what is the use of tapasya? And if you are worshipping the Lord, there is no use, there is no need for any other tapasya. What does that mean? That means the purpose of tapasya is to please the Lord. That is the biggest tapasya. We have so many other desires, but to make our desires to please the Lord. So, the Lord is so sensitive. Krishna's plan cannot be changed, but Krishna changes His plan for His devotees. In the first canto we find, Krishna changed His travel plans to go to Dwarka. Postponed it for a few months. Kunti came and prayed, not much. He satisfied, pacified her. But when Yudhishthir came and prayed, said, please my Lord, just to pacify him and also of course to, because Bhishma had a desire to see him, Krishna changed his plan, so sensitive to the needs of his devotees that his desire he changes, apparently. It's very difficult to understand. Does he change his desire? Or does he change his will? Or does not change? Because he may know how I'm going to change and but it happens. Mahaprabhu changed his traveling plans just because one devotee was in tremendous anxiety. One Ram Bhakta, so much in anxiety that how could Ravana touch my Sita, my worshipable mistress Sita? How could he do it? He wouldn't eat. That was his only concern. Mahaprabhu, he called him for lunch and when he went, he had not cooked also. Of course, that is when the Lakshman has gone for collecting woods. He was in his different realm. And Mahaprabhu realized it. Of course, he fed him, but he wouldn't eat. He said, how can I eat? So Mahaprabhu went practically about 160 kilometers. Walking all the way and found those evidence to pacify, and he came back all the way, walked all the way back. just to his anxiety, his distress, kind of a transcendental anxiety, just to pacify. How much the Lord loves his devotees. Therefore, when we actually understand, as Prabhupada writes here, the Lord, a non-devotee cannot believe that simply thinking of one person, one can achieve liberation from this material world and go back home, back to God. But this is a fact. The Lord comes as a human being. And if one becomes attached to the Lord on the platform of loving service, one's promotion to the transcendental world is assured. Who cannot fall in love with such a Lord, such a master, such a friend, such a well-wisher, such a lover? In the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, personally, the Lord speaks his heart for all time, for all people to know, recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam, about why he loves his devotees so much. Ye yathamam prapadyante. Actually, the Lord reciprocates in such a way, personally. As a human being, exactly as a human being. Very, very sensitive to every aspect. This is in regard to the instance where Ambarish Maharaj is offended, or Durvasa Muni tries to kill Ambarish Maharaj. He doesn't feel offended, of course, Durvasa Muni, apna Ambarish Maharaj, but he tries to destroy. And then when the Sudarshan follows him and he goes to Vaikuntha, sees the Lord. These are the Lord's words. It's amazing. There are so many instances, so many scriptures where the Lord personally speaks why his devotees are so dear to him. Or in other words, by reading this, we can understand what qualities to develop to actually attract the Lord. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Aham Bhakta Paradhino Hi Aswatantra Iva Dvija Sadhubhir Grasta Hridayo Bhaktair Bhakta Jana Priya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, that is Durvasa Muni, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. He aswatantra iva. It looks as if the Lord loses all his independence. When he comes in front of his devotee, if a devotee demands something, if a Lord has something else in mind, but he loses that independence, he says, okay, I'll agree to it. Aswatantra iva. It looks apparently that he loses his independence because of the desire of his devotee. If their desire is very strong, then he changes his. I'm completely under the control of my devotee. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Why? Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires. Sadhubhir. Sadhu means where he has no material desires. Prabhupada translates that. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee, even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. The devotees become so dear that anyone who is dear to them, by default, they become dear. The Lord told Satyaraj Khan, because you are so dear to me, every person in your village is dear to me. Told Srivast Thakur, your tailor your washerman, your maid servant, even the other living entities in your house, they are also equally dear to me. And naturally, affection of the Lord flows towards them. That is why Narottam Das Thakur says, Chhadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Pai Chekeva. This is the best way to develop, go closer to Krishna, please Krishna. That serve those devotees who are dear to Him. Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasad. That's why Mahaprabhu said, Gopi Bharturpada Kamalevo, Das Das Anudas. It's actually much more easier and much more sweet when it is, you know, much more down in the line. Prabhupada writes in that purport, following the instruction of a devotee is more valuable than following the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. It's a psychology, it's a transcendental psychology. If someone is very dear, Lord can do anything just to, all other rules and regulations are kept aside for special case. These are very special cases. In fact, even goes to the extent, oh best of the brahmanas, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. That means, for the Lord, shunya itam jagat sarvam, my devotees virahename. He says, Vaikuntha is a dreary void if I don't have devotees. Vaikuntha is Vaikuntha because of my devotees. He expressed during Ras Leela, he said, without Srimati Radharani, nothing gives me pleasure. Nothing gives me pleasure. It's like body without a soul. Not at all, I'm not attracted. I feel her absence. Even though he's in Vrindavan, Vrindavan is his place, everything. But without gopis, what is Vrindavan without gopis, without gopas? In fact, that's what is Vrindavan all about. And therefore, even Krishna, even though he's Atma Ram, self-satisfied, Purna Kama, all his desires are fully fulfilled, he has the ability to fulfill, but still, that's why Krishna is always surrounded by devotees. You'll never find Krishna alone. It is for him, he says, Na aham atmanam asha se mad bhaktair sadhubhir vina shriyam cha atyantikim brahman yesham gatim aham para. Why? Because for them, I am the only goal of life. Without me, shunya itam jagat sarvam, they feel. And therefore, I also feel without them, everything is dreary void. Prabhupada gives a good example. Although the Lord is full in six opulences, He does not feel transcendental bliss without His devotees. An example that may be cited in this regard is that, if a very rich man does not have sons in a family, he does not feel happiness. Putrahinam graham shunyam. Indeed, sometimes a rich man adopts a son to complete his happiness. The science of transcendental bliss is known to the pure devotee. Therefore, the pure devotee is always engaged in increasing the transcendental happiness of the Lord. And what is the transcendental happiness of the Lord? Because He is unlimited. His bliss is also unlimited. Therefore, He needs unlimited devotees. And therefore, the devotee of the Lord wants to increase the number of devotees in the spiritual world. Therefore, he preaches here. And therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one who preaches to the devotees to send them back, there is no one more dear to me than him. Because he wants unlimited bliss. And therefore he wants unlimited devotees, always increasing, ever increasing, because his bliss is ever increasing. So Prabhupada writes, our Krishna consciousness movement is to increase the number of devotees for the pleasure of Krishna, so that more can reciprocate, more the merrier. And why have they actually captured the heart? He says, Ye Dharagara Putrapta Pranan Vittamimam Param Hitvamam Sharanam Yata Katham Stam Tyaktum Utsahe. Since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? This is real opulence, to have even one person in our life with this kind of a relationship. Therefore, Krishna is the most opulent person, because in his abode, everybody is like this, ready to drop anything and everything at a moment's notice. And that's what Rasleela is all about. Krishna wanted to demonstrate that. Look at them. They may look like ordinary people. If you want to know their heart, Krishna played his flute. And in one lecture, his Lordliness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was explaining. So, how was that flute so attractive? What was that flute call so attractive? Why? He says it was Krishna's love going through the flute and permeating the whole atmosphere and calling. It was a call of love of Krishna. I want to enjoy. I need help, quick. Someone can come. That was his call. Everything was dropped at a moment's notice, with absolutely no consideration. Ye dara agara putrapta pranam. That is why Mahaprabhu expressed, when Srivas Thakur's son died, he says, how can I give up this association? How can I give up this association? Srivas Thakur was shocked. Why is he speaking like this? Because nobody knew he is going to take sannyas. What renunciation Krishna does, you think? He leaves the spiritual world to come for us. That's real renunciation. What do we renounce? We renounce material world for spiritual world. That's not renunciation. That's intelligence. One time, a king, a great emperor, had become a sadhu. And he went to visit his friend who was still a king. So the king told this king turned sadhu. He said, you are such a renunciate. You have renounced the kingdom to become an ordinary mendicant. But the mendicant said, you are actually a great renouncer. I have renounced this kingdom for the kingdom of God. I am a very selfish fellow. You are a bigger renouncer. You have renounced the spiritual kingdom for this little kingdom. You have renounced much than me. Of course, we understand what exactly. What Krishna has to do? Tyaktva sudustyaja surepsita rajya lakshmim dharmishta arya vachasa yadagada aranyam maya mrigam daita eepsitam anvadhavat vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. That is why Karbhajan Rishi, while glorifying all the incarnations, when he comes to Mahaprabhu's incarnation, he says, tyaktva sudustyaja. Tyaja means to renounce. Dustyaja means difficult to renounce. Sudustyaja means really, really very difficult to renounce. Really difficult to renounce. What is that? A loving mother like Sachi Mata, whose only life and soul was to give pleasure to Mahaprabhu. That's all. only his happiness. One time Mahaprabhu broke everything at home, beat up everything with a stick, broke the window, broke the door, started going in the garden and beating the trees, beat the ground, and then he went to sleep. After some time he got up. No, he asked before beating all this, not before doing this drama. He actually asked, I'm going to take bath in the Ganga. I need a garland and some chandan immediately. She said, I'll get you. It'll take time to make a garland and, you know, make some chandan paste. Immediately got angry, start beating up everything, destroyed everything in home. Everything. After he got up, by the time Sachi Mata had got it ready, as soon as he got up, here my dear son, here is a garland. Here. And he went and came back, after taking bath he came back. He says, I want to cook for you, but there is nothing at home. I don't mind if you destroy anything, but you know, I can't serve you. Her only goal in life, only goal, was to please Mahaprabhu, that's all. That's why she said, Mahaprabhu told, if you want, I will drop this nonsense, crazy thing that I did taking sannyas, I'm going to come home. I'll come and be with you. I says, no. Now, who can leave the association of Mahaprabhu? And he's still proposing, I want to come back. He says, no. You will be criticized by people. I can't tolerate that. I don't mind living without you. I don't mind living without you. But if you are criticized, it will hurt me. Only that consideration. What kind of a wife? What kind of associates? What kind of influence, Prabhupada writes. He just announced in the morning, we are going for Harinam Sankirtan to the house of Kazi. Literally millions of people came. So Prabhupada writes. So early morning he announced, and in the evening, billions of people came, according to Vrindavan Das Thakur. Which politician has such influence? And not that he paid them to come by the lorry or the trucks. In fact, they got their own torches. He didn't that I have arranged for petrol and I have arranged for all the torches. No. Everyone brought their own torches. In fact, they made more and more for others also. At their expense. Only one call. And he didn't have this networking system of calling everyone. How did the news reach? What influence he had over the people? Unimaginable influence, unimaginable beauty, unimaginable associates, everything. Tyaktva suduschada surepsita. Even demigods aspire for that. Rajya Lakshmim. Such opulence, real opulence. Yad agad aranyam. Why? Maya mrigam. To capture the foolish living entities who are running behind Maya. We may think sarvadharman parityaja. What is his demand? If a father tells his child, my dear child, throw that piece of glass, come to me, I'm going to give you some sweet. And he throws the glass and he says, I have renounced. What has he renounced? What's a big deal? If you've thrown something, what did you throw? It was nonsense that was causing you all suffering and distress. That's what you have renounced. But what does Krishna renounce to come here? That's what he says. How can I give up such devotees at any time? As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart bring me under their full control. I had the good fortune of watching some really chaste wives and gentle husbands even before coming to Krishna consciousness. And the psychology I did not understand at that time. where sometimes, you know, some people would come and ask a man, you know, I know some of my relatives, very, very influential person, if he says something, things happen at home. But somebody would ask him something and immediately he would look at his wife and she would say, okay, 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 thanks. I mean, it's not henpecked. That's genuine respect. Full faith that this person knows what would be the best for the family and for her, pleasing him and his, whoever is dear to him, was life and soul. And therefore, anything happens, just I remember a few years ago, many years ago, 91, 92, Mukunda Maharaj had come to our temple. At that time, practically we had no facility. No facility. Even Brahmacharya Ashram, very small. And Maharaj had a little room for himself. Hardly there's, you know, any place. And we wanted to have a nice facility for him. We didn't have that kind of nice guest houses as we have now. Or guest rooms we have. Not guest house, guest rooms. So, Mukunda Maharaj came and Maharaj wanted to make arrangements. He said, I'm going to stay overnight. So I remember downstairs, right in front of Lakshmi Narayan temple, you know, that garden. There Maharaj saw Srinathji Prabhu. This was Sunday feast. After the Sunday feast, he expressed that I want to stay overnight. So he called Srinathji Prabhu. And he told Srinathji Prabhu, Srinathji Prabhu, Mukunda Maharaj is staying overnight. Is it possible you can accommodate him? Yes, Maharaj. 1 second, Maharaj. He said, yes, Maharaj. It was just 1 second. Immediately, he rang up Maithili Priya Mataji and told something in Gujarati. You know, Mukunda Maharaj, auche. And she said, obviously she would say yes. He knew it, but still. And kept it on and said, yes, Maharaj, he can come. And Maharaj was, you know, laughing. And then both left. Kudu Maharaj left upstairs and Srinathji Prabhu left. And I was standing next to him. He looked at me and said, you know, typically his laughter with shoulder up. This is not henpecked. This is respect. It is not that she won't say no, but just see the culture. She's like the master of the house. And therefore he asked her permission. Knowing fully well that, of course, if that's his desire, she would surely permit, surely allow. Still, as an etiquette, he rang up and said, okay, bring him this time. So, as chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of their heart bring me under their full control. Here, Prabhupada gives a brilliant definition of samadarshina. Mai nirbaddha hridayaha sadhava samadarshana. What does it mean to be a samadarshi? We know vidya vinaya sampanni, you know, dog, a dog eater, everyone he looks. But Prabhupada gives another perspective. A pure devotee is actually learned because he knows his constitutional position. He knows the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he knows the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. Thus, he has full spiritual knowledge and is automatically liberated. Brahma Bhuta, Samas Sarveshu Bhuteshu, right? Samas Sarveshu Bhuteshu can only be done by Brahma Bhuta. And Brahma Bhuta means he knows the constitutional nature of every living entity and the constitutional nature of the Lord. That is a samadarshi. And then he says, he can therefore see everyone on the spiritual platform. He understands what does it translate to actually. Anyone can say, I am Sarvadarshi. Even dry renunciates can tell, we are Samadarshi. But what does it actually translate to? It says, he can comprehend the happiness and distress of all living entities. He understands that what is happiness to him is also happiness to others. And what is distress to him is distressing for others. Therefore, he is sympathetic to everyone. As Prahlad Maharaj said, Shoche tato vimukhache tasa indriyartha maya sukhaya bharamudvahato vimudhan. People suffer from material distress because they are not attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure devotee's chief concern, therefore, is to raise the ignorant mass of people to the sense of Krishna consciousness. And then he concludes this section by saying, my devotees who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service are not interested even in the four principles of liberation, Salokya Sasti, if there is no service. Because that service is their life and soul. And therefore he says, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. I am always in the heart of my pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything but me, and I do not know anything else but them. So this is the platform on which this pastime is happening. It's very difficult. What to speak of? If he can't, even devotees can't fully appreciate without the purport, what to speak of non-devotees? Therefore, proper hearing of these beautiful pastimes, which are simply meant to attract the heart of the conditioned souls. It's like Krishna is telling, I know what you want. I know what you're looking for. Here it is. Actually, what you're looking for is a place, a good place, Vrindavan. Good associates, the devotees. A good Lord, me, who is ready to become the servant of his servant. Because this is a loving relationship of only pure loving service. Uninterrupted and unmotivated. Hare Krishna. So these are some few thoughts. Any questions or? Yes. Rajvihari Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a nice class. You were mentioning about, in the beginning of the class, you were mentioning how Krishna, it's easy to please Krishna if you please devotees. And then you were quoting that it's the safest way. Gopi Bhartur, Dasa Dasanudas, that verse. So philosophically, this makes a lot of sense that we can please Krishna by pleasing his devotees. Now, practically, I wanted to know, how do we reconcile this? Because Krishna is called as Bhavagrahi. He understands the essence. But if you are trying to please devotees, now another devotee may also be a sadhaka like me. So he may not be able to take the bhava. He may expect some results or he may expect something tangible. And also, Krishna is infallible, Achyuta, but living entity is fallible. So another devotee may also have his struggles and problems and expectations. So it seems, apparently it's easier to please Krishna because Krishna will understand the sincerity of the devotee. So how do we reconcile this with this philosophical statement?
By using your discrimination. And to help that, Rupa Goswami says, you have to serve everyone, you have to please everyone. But how to please? Syat Krishna nam Krishneti yasya giri tam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranatibhischa bhajantamesham shushrushaya bhajana vignam ananya nindadi shunya hrudamipsita sangalabdhya. We discriminate amongst devotees not for the purpose whimsically to find out who is more advanced and who is less advanced. That's none of our business. That's Krishna, between the devotee and Krishna. Why Rupa Goswami is giving this? You have to use discrimination. Because if you don't discriminate, you don't know how to serve them, how to please them. If a inspector general of police comes with a constable, you serve both of them in different ways. Right? If a sannyasi comes with a brahmachari assistant, you take a garland and put through the brahmachari first. you are embarrassing the brahmachari and offending the sannyasi. Both are devotees. But there is an etiquette. So you have to use your discrimination. And therefore this is given. How to serve? Our business is only to serve. But using discrimination, how to serve? Krishneyati yasya giri. If somebody is chanting even one Krishna's name, mentally you offer obeisances. Dikshasti chet, if he is initiated, fixed up, then you befriend and, you know, accordingly, whether to give or take or association, whatever. And shushrushaya. Shushrushaya means actually humble menial service with great respect. Bhajana vignam, one who is expert in bhajan, and nindadi shunya, who has absolutely no propensity to criticize others. That means who has completely given up envy, false ego. Such a person, 100% without any reservation, one can serve. Hridamipsita sangalabdhya, and we should deeply aspire to associate. Associate means to hear from them. Hear from them. So, yasya prasada generally is guru, guru ashtak, speaking to a Vaishnava who is advanced, but we have to use our discrimination, how to serve each. Oh, the whole scriptures are given. Krishna says, who is dear to me in the Bhagavad Gita? Adveshta sarvabhutana yomad bhakta same priya. Says, who is dear to me? Says, these are the qualities. So if a person is exhibiting that quality, then without any reservation we need to serve. These are details. Is that answer you? Does it answer your question? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.